This is the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, Masechta Menachos, tape number 2.
For subscription information, call us toll-free at 1-888-DAF-YOMI or write Daf Yomi Tapes, P.O. Box 831, Muncie, New York, 10952.
This tape is dedicated in memory of Harav Mordechai David and Avram Bornstein, Zichrono Livracha. Our Maggid Shir is Rabbi Yossi Heber.
We're holding a Masechta Menachos with the Mishnah on Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph. And the Mishnah says, the seven branches of the menorah are ma'akev ze'eseh, meaning if one of them is missing, the menorah is pasul. The two parshas in the mezuzah are ma'akev ze'eseh. These parshas are Shema and V'hayim Shemaya. If one of the parshas is missing, then the mezuzah is pasul. In fact, even if one letter inside the mezuzah is missing, the mezuzah is pasul. As Rashi explains, since the pasuk says uchesavtam, we learn that the mezuzah must be eksiva tama. It must be 100% complete. Tam, it has to be complete. Otherwise, it's pasul. The four parshas in the tefillin are ma'akev ze'eseh. If one of the parshas is missing, the tefillin are pasul. The four parshas in tefillin are Shema and V'hayayim Shemaya in Devarim, as well as Kadesh Li Kol Bechar in Shmos Yud Gimel, and V'haya Ki Yivyacha in Shmos Yud Gimel. In fact, even one missing letter in the tefillin invalidate the tefillin as well. Finally, the four tzitzes are ma'akev ze'eseh, i.e., if a person has tzitzes on only three of the four corners of a beged, it's pasul, since it's all considered one big mitzvah. So if you don't have four out of four, you're not yaitze the mitzvah. Rabbi Shmuel argues and says, since each corner of the beged is considered a separate mitzvah, if one of them is missing, the other ones are kosher. We don't paskin like Rabbi Shmuel, but rather we say you have to have all four corners to have tzitzes, otherwise you're not yaitze the mitzvah. And the Gemara says, the seven kinei hamenorah are ma'akev ze'eseh, since the pasuk in Shmais Chaf Hei says, kaftei reham ukenoisam mimenu yihiyu. The yihiyu is a lashon of havaya. The menorah came from gold, but from one big piece of gold that was miksha, that was knocked out of one piece. If it's made out of multiple pieces, it's pasul. The chatzaitzris, the trumpets, also came from one piece of metal, but if it comes from multiple pieces of metal fused together, b'di'eved, it's kosher. The Gemara says any keli that Moshe Rabbeinu made were kosher then, and were kosher for future generations. Masha Einkein, the chatzaitzris, was only for then, but not for future generations. The menorah should be made from gold, but if it's made from kesef, from silver, it's kosher b'di'eved. If it's made from lead, tin, or a metal mixture, then it's a machlokes. But if it's made from wood, bone, or glass, all would hold that it's pasul. The halacha is that a person is not allowed to build a house with the exact same dimensions, length times width times height, as the heichal. He also can't make an achsadra, this is an area with three walls, with the same dimensions as the ulam. He can't make a chatzar with the same dimensions as the azara. He also can't make a shulchan with the same dimensions as the shulchan of the Beis HaMikdash, or a menorah with seven branches. But he can make a menorah with five, six, or eight branches. La halacha de Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeyev, Seif Simen, Kuf Mem Beis, writes that one is not allowed to make a seven-branch menorah, even of metals other than gold, and even if it's lacking the Gevi'im, Kaftarim, Ufrachim. And the Pischei Tshuva even adds that it's also to make a seven-branch menorah even if the seven-branch menorah is made only to hold candles and not to hold oil. Shmuel says the height of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash was 18 tvachim high. The base and the legs were 3 tvachim. There were 3 tvachim with nothing, and many more with decorations. The cup decorations, the gevi'im, looked like Alexandria cups, which were tall and thin. There were 22 gevi'im. There were also 11 kaftarim, which were the nabs, and there were 9 prachim, which were the things that looked like flowers. And all of these were ma'akev zu as zu. Daf Chavtes. There was a stone before the menorah where the kohen stood in order to prepare the menorah for lighting, because from the ground he wasn't tall enough to prepare the menorah. The Gemara says Shlaima HaMelech made 10 menorahs, and for each he used 1,000 kikarim of gold. By the menorah, the pasuk says, Al HaMenorah HaTahira, in Vayikra Chavdalad, meaning that an image came down from a makam tahara, from Shemayim, and the image came so Moshe could see it, and he would be able to use this image to copy it and build his own menorah. The Lechem HaPanim demonstrated the love Hashem had for Klal Yisrael, because of the great ness that happened with the Lechem HaPanim. When they put them on the table, they were hot and fresh, and a week later, when they took them off, they were still hot and fresh. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda said that a shulchan, an aron, and a menorah, a fire, came down from Shemayim for Moshe to see as models, so he could build similar ones here. There were three things that were difficult for Moshe Rabbeinu to understand until Hashem showed them to him: the menorah, Rosh Chodesh, and Shratzim, which ones are kosher. By all three, the pasuk uses a lashon of zeh. By menorah, it says v'zeh ma'isa ha-menorah. By Rosh Chodesh, it says ha-chodesh ha-zeh lachem Rosh Chodashim. And by Shratzim, it says v'zeh lachem ha-tameh. Others say even Hilcha Shechita was shown to Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbi Yehuda Amarav says, even if a mezuzah has all of its letters, but it's missing just the tiniest part of the yud, it's puzzle. He also says, every letter that doesn't have parchment completely surrounding it, this is referred to as gevil mukafla, i.e., if it touches, if any of the letters don't have white space all the way around it, or a little bit of white space, but rather it touches a different letter, it also passels the mezuzah, and in fact it passels tefillin the same way. The Rajba points out that this Gemara isn't referring to distorted letters, because of course distorted letters are passel. The Chiddush is that even if both letters are perfect letters, if they touch each other at all, this is called not being mukaf gevil, and they're passel. If the inside of a hay has a hole, then the hay is kosher. But if the leg of the hay has a hole, then it's puzzle. The Gemara says once they had a shaila on part of a vav that got cut off, and it looked a bit like a yud. So they went to Rab Zera to ask him what they should do. He said they should find a small child and ask him to read the word. That way they would be able to determine whether it was a vav or a yud. The Shulchan Aruch, in fact, paskins that we can use this etza, the child, to help us determine if a letter is kosher or puzzle. And of course, we could all recollect stories in shul on Shabbos where they were unclear on a particular letter, and the Rav said they should bring up a small child in order to help determine what letter the letter actually is. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim to be mekabel the Torah, he found HaKadosh Baruch Hu tying little crowns to the tops of the letters of the Torah. Hashem explained to Moshe that in the future, Rabbi Akiva will darshan the seidus associated with these crowns, with these ksarim. Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem, "You showed me Rabbi Akiva's Torah, now show me his reward." So Hashem showed Moshe that Rabbi Akiva would be killed as one of the Asara Haruge Malchus by having his skin raked off. So Moshe asked, "Zus Torah v'zus schare?" This is learning Torah, and this is the schare that he gets for learning all of his Torah. And Hashem told Moshe to keep quiet because the neshama of Rabbi Akiva is the neshama of Midas Hadin, so its real reward would be an Olam Haba. Rava said, there are seven letters that require three special lines on top. Those seven letters are Shin Ayin Tes, Nun Zayin, Gimel Tzadik, Shatnez Getz. Ravashi added that some added a special line on top of a Ches. There's a machlokes between Rashi and Taisvis exactly what this looked like. If someone is Bitchu B'Hashem Adayad, Hashem will protect him all of the time. Hashem created the world with the letters Yud and Hey. This world with the Hey, as we know in Bereshis, Beis, Ela Tolos Hashamayim V'Haaretz, Behi Baram, Al Tikri Behi Baram, Ela Behei Baram. He created it with a Hey. And Elam Haba was created with the letter Yud. It's hard to do tshuva, but if someone is a Chayza B'tshuva, he has a special place for himself in Shamayim. Rav said, if a Torah has two mistakes in every column, it can still be corrected. But if it has three mistakes in every column, it must be put into Geniza. But if you have one good column, the rest can still be fixed. The Tshuva HaRashba says, if we find three random mistakes in any one Sefer Torah, we then have a chiyuv to check the entire Sefer Torah to be sure there aren't any more mistakes. In other words, you can't continue reading from that Torah, but now there's a chiyuv to check the whole Sefer Torah. Daf Lamed. Rav also says that if you're about to finish a Sefer of Chumash, you can finish it halfway down a column, but the end of the whole Torah, the Enei Kol Yisrael, must be finished at the bottom of a column. Some say only to the end of a line, and others say you must go to the bottom, but must stop in the middle of the line. Rav also said, the last eight psukim of the Torah, only one person should get the Aliyah, since after the pasuk Bayamas Sham Maisha, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Yehoshua wrote these psukim. Since after Maisha Rabbeinu died, how could he have written it? Rabbi Shimon says, Maisha Rabbeinu wrote even the last eight psukim with the help of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who dictated them to him. Maisha cried when he heard these words. The Gemara says if someone writes a Torah, it's so chashev, it's as if he was makabalit from Har Sinai. And in fact, if he corrects just one letter of the Torah, it's as if he wrote it. The parchment one uses to write a Sefer Torah should be able to contain at least three columns, but no more than eight columns. And you don't want too many columns, since it'll look like an igeris. And a column should be big enough to write L'mishpachai Sechem three times. Between Svarim, there should be a space of three etzbais at the bottom and two at the top. And between each column, there should be a shear of the width of a thumb, between each row, the width of a row, and between each word, the shear of a yud. If a person has a five-letter word, but a column has space left over only for three letters, he should write two letters outside of the column. It's interesting to point out regarding the columns in a Sefer Torah that every single column, if you look inside a Sefer Torah, you'll see, starts with the letter Vav. There are only five places in the Torah which don't begin with the letter Vav at the top of the column. This isn't in every Sefer Torah, but in most cases. Those five places are Bereshis, of course, the Beis at the beginning of Bereshis, in Parshas Vayechi, Yehuda Ata Yoducha, in Bishalach Habayim Acharehem Bayam, in Balak Matoivu Alecha Yaakov, and in Kisisa Shmarlecha. The Gemara says if a Sefer forgot to write the Shem Hashem, he wrote, for example, the Pasuk Vayedaber Hashem El Moshe, but he left out the word Hashem, so it just says Vayedaber blank El Moshe. Rabbi Yehuda says he should scratch out the word El and stick the word Hashem there. Others say you should write the Shem Hashem above it. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says you're not allowed to write the Shem Hashem on top of an erased out area, so you'd have to put this entire piece of parchment into Geniza. Rabbi Hanina says when Rabbi Shimon Shazuri says a halacha, we paskin like him. For example, we paskin like him by Ben Pekua. If Shechita is done on a mother and a Vlad was found inside, this child does not need shechita. Finally, the Gemara says the rule is that you cannot take off truma from one year's crop to take care of a different year's crop. Daf Lamed Aleph. A large keli, which means that it can hold more than 40 saw, which is made from wood or skin, it is batal from a shame keli, and it cannot be mekabel tuma, because only a keli can be mekabel tuma, but since this is so big and it holds more than 40 saw, it cannot be mekabel tuma. Beis Shammai says the measurement of 40 saw is done mibifnim. We measure the airspace inside. Beis Hillel says we also include the outside walls into the cheshbon in order to get the cheshbon of 40 saw. We also paskin like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri by the case of yayin. The rule is that truma can become pasul if it is touched by an avatuma, rishlatuma, or shenilatuma, and so on. And if it touches liquid, the liquid becomes a rishlatuma. What is considered a liquid? What is considered mashkin? Meir says shemen, the Chachamim say even honey, and Rav Shimon Shazuri says only wine. The Gemara says normally grain of a goy has no chiyuv of meiser, but if it's land in Eretz Yisrael, then it is chayuv b'meiser, since a goy can't really own land in Eretz Yisrael to be mafgiat from the mitzvah hatluyus ba'aretz. Others say he can own land, and it will pater it from mitzvah hatluyus ba'aretz. If there is a rip that extends two lines into the ksav of a Sefer Torah, it can still be sewn together again. If it's three lines, however, you can't, and you must take the whole yuria, the whole page, and begin a new page, since a large rip looks very bad. But this halacha only applies to old parchment, not to new parchment. The Shach in Yeradeya, Simin Resh Pei, Sif Kant Gimel, says that today we can rely on the skula and sew even a three-line tear, because our parchment is considered like new parchment, even when it's old, since it's very white and the stitching is not noticeable on it. The Rush says that if the tear runs through a letter, it cannot be repaired. Once a letter is split apart, it cannot be stitched together to reform the letter. Finally, the Rambam in Hilchos Sefer Torah, Seif Perek Tes, says that a three-line tear constitutes a problem only if the tear runs through words. However, if it runs only in between words, then it may be stitched, no matter how large the tear is. The Tur, however, does not draw such a distinction. He says that it's not mutter if the tear is larger than three lines, regardless of whether it runs through words or not. If a rip is large, but it continues, or it's not continues, but it's in between the columns, the Gemara says, teiku. The Achrayim discuss if it's mutter to put a new patch of parchment on a yiriyah and simply rewrite the part that had the rip on it. The Shach says, as long as one could sew up the spot, he could patch it as well. The Rush, however, holds patching is always okay, since it looks pretty good, especially compared to sewing. If a mezuzah is long and narrow, with only two words on each line, the mezuzah is kosher. And if it's two words, three words, and one word, then it's also okay. But if it looks like a kubah, it looks like a tent, where it's one word, then three words, like a triangle, then it's pasul. Or if it's three words, two words, and one word, it's also pasul. Also in the pasuk of Kimei HaShamayim Al Haaretz, the words Al Haaretz must stand alone on the final line of the mezuzah. We should also point out that the outside of the mezuzah has the Shem Hashem written on it, Shakai, which not only stands for the Shem Hashem, but also stands for the words Shemer Dalsais Yisrael. Reb Chelbai said he saw Rav Huna roll up the mezuzah, beginning with the word Echad from the left side, toward the word Shema, which is on the right side. And the space between the parshios were closed. They were stumais. What is a stuma? According to the Rush, you must have uvisharecha at the beginning of a line, and v'hoya im shamaya starting at the end of the same line. If it's a different line, it's not called sasum. The Rambam argues and says stuma can even begin on a different line. The Taz says the word uvisharecha is written within nine letters of the end of a line, and V'haya im Shamaya is written within nine letters of the beginning of the next line. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said that Rabbi Meir used to write his mezuzahs on duchsustas. A piece of animal skin has both an inside smooth part, which is called the duchsustas, and an outside hairy part, which is called the klaf. So Rabbi Meir used to write his mezuzahs on duchsustas, this inside part of the skin, not on the outside hairy part. And he used to write it kimin daf, in thin columns, just like a Sefer Torah, and he left a space both on top and on bottom, and he left a space as well between the parshas, which were psuchais, daf lamed beis. We paskin, you must leave a space on top and on bottom of the mezuzah, just like Rav Shimon ben Elazar brings down. Rav said that minhagim are so strong, if someone has a minig, any minig is considered so strong, that even if Eliyahu Hanavi comes and says not to do it, we wouldn't listen to him. So since the minig is that we leave stumais between the parshas of the mezuzah, that's the halacha. If you have a sefer Torah or tefillin, which were worn out, you can't convert these parshas into a mezuzah, since ein mayridin mikdusha chamura likedusha kala, or mailin bakaydish v'ein mayridin. And since tefillin are more chashev, or more kedusha than mezuzah, since tefillin have four parshas. Halacha meishim misinai, tefillin are written on klaf, which is, as we mentioned, the outside hairy part of the skin, but mezuzah is written on duchsustas, the inside part of the skin. If the skin is never split, but is the full thickness of inside and out, that's by the way called gevil. If b'di'eved tefillin are written on duchsustas, then the tefillin are pasul. But if b'di'eved you write a mezuzah on klaf, it's kosher. Some say even in this case, it's pasul. Mezuzah has a special halacha, that it needs sirtut, it needs lines etched out, straight lines etched out, to write the words of the mezuzah on them, while tefillin do not need sirtut. And the concept of sirtut by mezuzah is also halacha l'meishim Sinai. Rabbi Akiva Eger, in his Shilas and Tshuvas, Chelek Aleph Simen Nun, adds in fact that the sirtut by mezuzah must be lishma, and it must be written l'shem mitzvahs mezuzah. Rashi holds that a sefer Torah also needs sirtut, while Tosfos holds a Sefer Torah does not need Sirtut. Later, Tosfos brings Rabbeinu Tam, who holds that a Sefer Torah does need Sirtut, because of Zeh Keli Van Veyu, in order to make sure that it comes out beautiful. If you wouldn't put down lines in the Sefer Torah, the Sefer would have a hard time writing the line straight, and the Sefer Torah wouldn't look nice. Therefore, there is a Chi of Sirtut because of Zeh Keli Van Veyu. Rabbi Yirmiyah says that Tefillin and Mezuzah can be written from memory without a text before the Sefer. The Gemara says it's osur to lie on a bed that has a sefer Torah on it. Others say that it's mutter. The Rama says, bizman hazeh, people should not sit on a bed or a chair that has a sefer Torah on it. And in fact, lachatchila, a person shouldn't even sit on a bed or a chair that has a sefer on it. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, if someone writes a mezuzah like an igeres without sirtut, or without the correct diktuk, it's pasul, since from uchesavtam, by mezuzah, it teaches us that it must be done correctly. A door, a normal door, as we know it, has two vertical side posts. The two vertical side posts are called mezuzos. And a door also has one top horizontal beam, which is called a mashkov. What we call a mezuzah is called this because we put it on the mezuzah on the side post. If someone puts a mezuzah on a piece of wood and puts that piece of wood on his side post, it's pasul, since the pasuk says, uvisharecha, in your gates. Also, if he puts it on a spot after the doorway, he isn't yoytze the mitzvah, and it's a sakana. Rashi explains, since a mezuzah offers protection, and he didn't put it up properly, in other words, he put it really after the doorway, then he has no protection. The mitzvah is to place the mezuzah in the doorway, and not outside of the doorway, since the pasuk says, uvisharecha. And in fact, Rava says that it should be placed in the tefach, which is samach l'rishus harabim, but of course, in the doorway. The mezuzah must be written on one daf. If it's written half on one daf and half on a second daf, it's pasul. When you put up a mezuzah, which side of the door do you put it on? Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, you look for the heker tzir, the hinge, as a guide. The hinges of the door are usually on the inside of the door, so the side of the hinges represent the entry direction, and the mezuzah would go on the right side upon entering the room or upon entering the house. The Gemara asks, what is a heker tzir? The Gemara answers, a socket for the hinge. But why is this the guide, the Gemara asks? Don't we always put the mezuzah on the right side upon entering the door, derech biyascha? The Gemara answers, if it's clear which way the entry is, then it goes up on the right side. For example, the outside door to the house, it's very clear that that leads into the house. Therefore, the mezuzah goes on the right side going into the house. Or, if you have a hallway going into the living room, so the mezuzah goes up on the right side of the door going into the living room. But if you have a borderline case, for example, as the Gemara says, a room for men and then a room for women side by side, so which is called the entry side and which is called the exit side. People go from the men's side to the women's side, from the women's side to the men's side. Or commonly in people's houses where there is a hall door which goes into the dining room and there's another door that goes from the dining room into the kitchen, which then is considered the entryway, and which is called the exit way. So in that case, if both rooms are equal, you look for the hinges, which are on the inside, and from there, it goes on the right side. Wherever the hinges are on the inside, that represents the entryway, and that would tell you then which would be the right side based on which is the room where you actually enter into. Today, of course, when putting up mezuzahs, we hold that the priority is in the issue of derech biyascha. If a person is going into the house or going into the room or going into rooms from the entryway into the house, then it would go on the right side. What the next priority is, some hold the next priority has to do with the chashivas of the room. Some people hold it's the room where more activity takes place. And some people hold the next priority has to do with what we mentioned before here in the Gemara, this issue of heker tzir, where the hinges are, which then point the direction of which is called the entry room and which way would be called the exit room. The Gemara says a mezuzah must be put on mitase velei mina osoi. If there is no doorpost, you can't put up a mezuzah until there is a doorpost. So if you put up the mezuzah before there's a doorpost, you're not yaitze. Taisa says you can't put up a mezuzah at all unless there is a full door in that spot. If a mezuzah is put up kimin nagor, like a nail, then it's considered pasul. Rashi learns kinagor means that the mezuzah was put up horizontally. Then it's pasul. Rabbi Natam learns kinagor means a vertical mezuzah, and we paskin like Rashi. The doorway from Rabbi's house to the Beis Medrash did not have a mezuzah, since it was a private door, while the doorway from Rabbi Huna's house to the Beis HaMedrash did have a mezuzah, since it was used by everyone. Kuntres Aladaf mentions that the Rishonim cite a Gemara in Brachas, Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, which implies contrary to our Gemara, and says that a Beis Knesses does require a mezuzah. In answer to this, the Mordechai says that a distinction must be made between a Beis Knesses and a Beis Medrash. The Bach in Yerodea, Simen Resh Pei Vav, Divrei HaMaschil, Beis Medrash, explains the difference as follows. Only a building which is considered a Beis Dira, a place of residence, requires a mezuzah. A Beis Knesses, which is a shul only used for davening, is not considered a Beis Dira because it's not occupied most of the day. On the other hand, a Beis Medrash is considered a Beis Dira because it's occupied most of the day by people studying Torah, and therefore it requires a mezuzah. Taisvus and the Rambam in Hilchas Mezuzah Perek Vav Halacha Yud Aleph do not differentiate between a base Knesses and a base Medrash, and maintain that neither requires a mezuzah. Taisvus explains that the only reason Rav Huna's base Medrash door required a mezuzah was that it led from the base Medrash to his house. The difference between Rebbe's door and Rav Huna's door was that Rav Huna's door was commonly used by the public, whereas Rebbe's door was not. Thus it emerges that according to Rashi, an ordinary base Medrash door requires a mezuzah, whereas according to Taisvus, it does not. The Rush, brought in the Tur Yeradeus of Enresh Peivav, writes that his Rebbe, the Marami Rattenberg, initially conducted himself leniently in accordance with Taisvus' opinion and did not affix a mezuzah to his base medrash door. Eventually, however, he changed his mind and did affix a mezuzah to his base medrash, because until he did so, he relates, whenever he took his afternoon nap, he sensed a terrifying Ruach Ra overcoming him. The Beis Yosef in Simon Yud rules that one should conduct himself according to the more stringent view of Rashi and affix a mezuzah to a base medrash. However, a bracha, likvayam mezuzah, should not be recited, since the Rambam and Taisvus are of the opinion that it is not required. The bracha we recite when putting up a mezuzah, by the way, is the bracha of Asher Kedushanam Mitzvayis Avitzivanu Likvaya Mezuzah. This bracha is used whether we put up one mezuzah or many mezuzahs, and even if a house is new, we do not recite the bracha of Shachianu when we put up the mezuzahs. The mezuzah is placed, the minhag Ashkenazim is to place the mezuzah on a slant, with the top of the mezuzah slanting into the room that one is entering. If it's impossible to slant it, then it should be placed straight up vertically. But of course, as we mentioned before from the Gemara, if a person puts a mezuzah in horizontally, then he's not yoitza, the mitzvah's mezuzah. One other important halacha to mention by mezuzahs is that in Eretz Yisrael, the chiyuv for people who either own the house or rent a house, the chiyuv for putting up a mezuzah is immediately. As soon as the person moves in, there's a chiyuv. However, in Chutz La'aretz, the chiyuv begins only after 30 days that a person has lived in the house. But that's only in the case where a person is renting a house. If the person actually owns the house, then the chiyuv is immediately, as soon as he moves in. Finally, a room requires a mezuzah only if it's larger than the shear of Dalet al Dalet Amos. And here, of course, there's a machlokes about what exactly is the shear of an Amma. An Amma can be anywhere from 18 inches to 24 inches. So Dalet al Dalet would be a shear of anywhere from 36 square feet to 64 square feet. However, this halacha of not putting a mezuzah in a room which is less than Dalet al Dalet only applies to a regular room. However, in the case of a base oitzer, a room which is used for storage, often even a room which is smaller than Dalet al Dalet would require a mezuzah. Of course, all the halachas of mezuzah are complicated, and one should therefore always ask their rav in cases of questions. Continuing here in the Gemara, Shmuel says the chiyuv of mezuzah is to put it just above the top one-third of the doorpost, tchilas shlish ha'elyon. So, for example, the door is 6 feet tall, you mark 2 feet down from the mashkof, and you put it just above that point. Rav Huna says, anywhere on the door is okay, as long as it's not within a tefach of the top of the door, or a tefach to the bottom of the door. If the doorposts are very wide, the mitzvah is to put it as close to the Rishus HaRabim as possible, either so that you should encounter it the second you enter the door, or so that the protection will extend even further out. We see how the Midas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is different than Midas Basar V'Dam, in that the Melech, normally a Melech Basar V'Dam, sits inside the palace, and the guards stay outside. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we, the Avadim, sit inside, while Hashem, the Melech, sits outside. We should point out the famous Taz in Shulchan Aruch, Simin Reish Pei Hei in Yeradeya, who says, V'chol ha-zahir bai, regarding mezuzahs, yarichu yamav. He says this because Hashem protects us, and the mitzvah of mezuzah is very chashev, since most mitzvahs only work if you actually do something to do the mitzvah. While mezuzah protects us even if you do nothing, if a person just sits in his house, as long as the house has a mezuzah, he's protected by it, and therefore yarichu yamav. If someone makes a hole in a wall and puts a mezuzah into it, as long as the hole is not deeper than a tefach, it's kosher. However, if the mezuzah goes in more than a tefach, then it's pasul, and he would need a new mezuzah. The Gemara says if a room has a fault, it's pater from mezuzah. What's considered a fault? One Man D'Amar says the room has no mashkof, it has no horizontal top to the doorframe, and one Man D'Amar says the room does not have a roof. The Rush adds here that only a room that lost its roof is pater from a mezuzah. but a permanent courtyard, even if it has no roof, is mechuyev in mezuzah. Rav Chisda says an achsadra is potter from mezuzah. This is a room with three full walls and a roof, but the fourth wall is completely open, except for the horizontal beam. And it's completely open since there is no doorway. A beis shar, a watchman booth, or a mirpeset, a balcony, is chayev in mezuzah. A beis shar, an anteroom that has two entryways, one from the street to the beis shar and one from the beis shar into other houses, is chayev to have at least two mezuzahs. Finally, if there is a small booth that leads to a garden, which a lot of people use, so of course the garden we know is potter from mezuzah, but also it leads to a storage room, which is not used that often, and a storage room is chayev in mezuzah, if the heker tzir is structured to lead into the storage room, the hinges, then it's chayev in mezuzah. But if the sockets are towards the garden, then it's a machlokes. And the halacha is like Rav and Shmuel, l'chumrah.